A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio is proud to present its weekly series called Meet the Members of the Muslim American Media Alliance. And this alliance is made up of Muslim professionals, organizations, and businesses in the media industry with a collective mission to share information, network, and present the stories of Al-Islam and Muslims in America through resources in print, music, film, radio, video, and new media. And now, your host for the program, William Kareem.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to another edition of the Muslim American Media Alliance's Meet the Mama Members. Yes, the Muslim American Media Alliance, or MAMA for short, was founded to organize Muslim media outlets. MAMA is composed of newspapers, magazines, websites, blogs, radio, internet, television, social and email networking groups. For as you know, we are living in a time when the news is no longer just black and white, but it is colored with the particular opinion of pundits, politicians, news organizations, television shows, and movies. And many times, Al-Islam and Muslim Americans have been ostracized and misrepresented without having an opportunity to respond or be considered. Thus, the Muslim American Media Alliance has come together to cover the news opinions and events of the day and to share our unique point of view with America and the rest of the world. Some of our members include Muslim Journal, A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio, American Muslim 360 Internet Radio, Taqwa Productions, Umastream World TV, Station IWDM, You Are a Creator social networking site, Uma One social networking site, The Islam TV Network, Aliyah TV Network, Bilalian Speaks YouTube Videos, Famico Publishing, Aziza Magazine, Speak TV, and the Northeast Muslim Email Network, and many other individual members who are working in their areas to make a difference in their communities. Today, or this afternoon, during this Women's History Month, we bring you one of our members from Kansas City, Missouri, who owns a graphic design boutique called Graphic Expressions. She has also written a book about her experiences on Hajj called Hajja, A Sister's Guide to Completing the Hajj. She is also a community activist, and we welcome to our microphone our sister, Shahida Hadid. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the show. How are you, sister?
I'm doing great this morning, alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for having me on this morning.
And we appreciate your participation. I'd like to start off by asking you, tell us about growing up in sunny San Diego, California.
Well, San Diego, California, great community, loved it. Beautiful, beautiful city as well. The community there was very warm, and it still is. I grew up in the community of Masjid al-Taqwa of San Diego, one of the first mosques or temples back in the Nation of Islam that my parents were a part of and on the West Coast. So it's a very historic community. It's a historic masjid and mosque, and the people there are very beautiful.
I read your bio. I'm going to do that right now just to give our listeners a background on some of the efforts or who our sister Shahida Hadid is. Shahida Hadid is the wife of Imam Bilal Hadid and the daughter of Chaplain Hanif M. and Nina Salam. She is a proud mother, sister, and daughter, striving for moral excellence with a philanthropic spirit. Originally from sunny San Diego, California, Shahida has gone full speed ahead since becoming a Kansas City resident 8 years ago. She is heavily involved in the Muslim community as well as the interfaith community, where she attends Al-Inshira Islamic Center. She has had the privilege to serve on various boards, and was recently named the co-chair of the annual Tables of Faith luncheon in 2012, a large yearly gathering of the who's who of the interfaith community in Kansas City, Missouri. She has been a philanthropist since her teen years, earning her the award of Philanthropist of the Year in 1998, along with the EIS Youth Board in San Diego, California. Her work includes spreading the religion of Al-Islam through action. She is the co-founder of the Great Scarf Exchange for Women, an annual fundraising activity which is held each year to assist the needs of women in the Kansas City community. Her work continues to influence others to give back. In the summer of 2012, she became an advocate for underprivileged children by way of providing relief by implementing a free summer lunch program. With the assistance of Islamic Relief USA, she was able to obtain a grant to offset cost and provide cost-free activities for participants from the inner and outer Islamic community. She also, with the help of the UMKC Muslim Student Union, what does UMKC stand for?
University of Missouri, Kansas City. It's a local university.
Okay. UMKC Muslim Student Union, she was able to spearhead the first annual back-to-school supply giveaway during the month of Ramadan. She and her husband, Imam Bilal, had the pleasure of making Hajj in 2012, October 2012. Shahida was recently named the 2012 Young Adult Leadership Recipient for the Muslim Journal in December 2012. In her spare time, Shahida loves to provide graphic design services and owns her own graphic design boutique, Graphic Expressions. Sister Shahida, this is about media, but before we actually get into some of your works as far as media, I would really like to talk about the spirit of giving. What is your earliest experience of giving that you can remember? Did it come from helping your mother around the house with the chores or helping your father in some way?
Definitely. There were times where I definitely went with my father around the community, definitely helping my mother. My mother groomed both of us, her daughters, as well as her son, Yasmin and Donald, around the house just to make us all around Muslims, not only helpers in the community, but also for us to know that we had to take care of home as well, because she did that. She was an excellent example. To this day, I'm very thankful to have a mother that taught me the importance of giving back. She helped me in many areas and kept me abreast in the community as far as being aware. I think I got that from my father's dad because he was a community activist and he had volunteerism in his spirit as well.
Volunteerism. I like that.
They had me involved in various work and dealings in the community at a very young age. I was co-founding and spearheading a youth board for the Elementary Institute of Science, where we raised over $10 million to help bring about a new science facility in the urban inner city of San Diego. And so they had me doing things within the community as well as being a part of the Muslim community.
Did you go to a public school or did you go to Muslim school?
I did. I went to a public school all my life.
And were you helpful there also?
I was. Early, I would say I was a part of the student council board in high school. I was part of ASB.
What's ASB?
Associated Student Body.
Yes,
like a group, you know, on campus that consists of either the president, the treasurer, a body of members that help kind of lead the direction of where the school, as far as for the students go.
So as far as going to public school, did you wear your the hijab? Did you wear your head covered? Or did people know you were Muslim? How did that work out?
Well, people knew that my family was Muslim. They knew us by because of our character. We stood out because of that different acting, different by name as well. We did not wear our scarves during our adolescent years. My mother never pressed that upon us. She wanted us to make that conscious decision on our own. And I chose to start doing it last year fully after coming back from Hajj. I just felt the need. I needed to protect everything that I have taken in the last year as far as going on this glorious journey, not only, you know, for the physical and outward appearance to let everyone know that this is me now, but also to cover my intellect, to cover my conscious thinking, my right thinking. And when you wear your kimar, you know, your hijab is protected. You are now in a state, I feel like, totally, where you stand out so much more, not only because you're different, but your thinking is different.
The scarf definitely represents something. It says a whole lot, especially for a sister to wear that. But let me ask you this, because you brought up something, and, you know, I'm over here on the East Coast, and sunny San Diego, California is on the West Coast. But I'd like to ask you, I just came up with this, but during 9/11, the 9/11 situation, how did you feel? How did your peers and your friends, and how did they respond to you? And how did the Muslim community out there, how did the community respond out there? How did that whole 9/11 thing affect you? And what did you see? What can you tell our listeners about how the response was out there in sunny San Diego, California, and the West Coast?
Well, very somber. There was a lot of hate that we received from what I heard from my parents, as far as people leaving messages and on the masjid's telephone, masjid's out in San Diego being spray painted. The morale was very low, but we as a community stuck strong together through what we were dealing with. And I'm sure that every community across the nation was having and going through the same ordeal, more so the immigrant community. But I do believe that African-American community suffered as well, because we are Muslims.
How did the Muslim community in San Diego, did it welcome individual participation with community persons outside the family? How did you develop a spirit of giving? Can you name a person that you kind of worked with in the sunny San Diego, California, to develop a giving spirit?
Number one person I would say would have to be Jennifer Vanica from the Jacobs Family Foundation, who is now with the Vanica Foundation, and they are a part of capital campaign donors and charitable givers that help by way of assisting inner city communities succeed. They are a part of economic development. And she took a group of young people from the Elementary Institute of Science together as a group, kind of honed us and took us under her wing and developed our interpersonal skills, our philanthropic spirit all the way around. So she is my mentor in that area as far as giving back and wanting to help the community grow. And one of my inspirations in starting the summer lunch program for Alan Shore Islamic Center, after speaking with her, an hour conversation with her in 2010, I was going through a lot of things, especially with my father in transition of passing, and she told me that my life was so much more than what I was making of it right now. And for me to find myself in service to others, I would find happiness. So I began to look at things that I could possibly do to be of service to other people. In it, I did. I found happiness in giving back, and it was so much joy to help children from the inner city. Myself, along with Crystal Kareem, who is also a part of Alan Shore Islamic Center and the director of the Sister Clara Muhammad School, she, along with her son, helped in the areas of just spearheading with me the summer lunch program and being there consistently. So with doing that, I found happiness, and I still feel like I have so much more to give.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I had a difficult time for a moment pronouncing Alan Shearer. You know, I had a difficult time pronouncing it, and so I had to basically, you know, kind of look it up. Especially, I was like, Alan Shearer. So what is that? And I came to find out that it was one of the revelations that was like the Surah Waduha, and it was about our Prophet Muhammad. It was a confirmation to him that, yeah, even though things are kind of difficult right now, it will get better. But this is just a transition of time that you basically have to go through. So I'm saying that you know, from sunny California, you moved to Kansas City, Missouri. Was that a family move, or the whole family, or was it just you that actually moved there? And then you met your husband. How did that go?
Well, how I got to Kansas City, well, I just will tell the story. My father thought that it was very important. We always went to conventions in Los Angeles and on the West Coast, and we thought that that was the convention. Those were the conventions. And so in 99, he decided to take our whole family and just go to Chicago that year for the convention, and that is where I met my husband. And he is originally from Kansas City, Missouri. And so after that chance meeting, we talked briefly, and we came back together after I finished school, or on my way finishing school, we came back together, got married, and then I ended up moving to Kansas City, which has been a lovely, lovely community, very family-oriented, and just beautiful. I love Kansas City. Maybe not the weather so much, but I do love the community here in Kansas City. This is my family here.
How did you all decide to go on Hajj? When did that decision come about?
Well, I lost my father in 2011, and that whole year one of his words, and constantly, all the time, while I was speaking with him, he kept saying, you know, Shahida, you and Bilal, you guys really need to make the Hajj, you know, find it in your heart to, you know, do whatever you need to do and to just to get there. And he wasn't saying, like, within the next year or within whatever, but just in your lifetime, before you go, make it your intention to make Hajj. Well, you know, I always had it on my heart to make Hajj. My very existence, I feel like, is because of that, of this glorious journey. My parents were unable to conceive, were unable to have children for the first 11 years of their marriage. And so they ended up going to Hajj, making a dua. They asked their friends to, you know, issue out duas for them while on that trip. They found out that they were pregnant. Upon coming back, they found out they were pregnant a couple of months later. With my brother, my older brother, but he in turn transitioned to Allah. And then a year later, they found out they were pregnant with me. So I feel like because of those duas that were answered, I'm here. So to walk on the grounds that my father and my mother and my ancestors walked on was even more than I can even it was more than I can even encompass in my heart. It was
so bigger. Let me understand this. So you're saying that your birth was because of the Hajj? You said your parents couldn't have children, and you wound up being born after your parents made Hajj?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I feel like I answered their prayers, answered their du'as, because they saw that they were sincere in what they were asking for, and Allah blessed them.
Beautiful.
Maybe what they needed to do was to go to Hajj together, to experience that together. Maybe he needed to see that sincere action of them so that he can bless them in other ways. And alhamdulillah,
yes.
You know, my sister, Yasmin Sadir, she's in this world. My brother, Donald, he is here in this world. Myself, I am here in this world. So we have inherited this faith, and it's so much bigger. So much bigger than what we could ever do or what we will ever know. I'm still learning my purpose here in this world. That's why I felt it necessary, my husband as well. We knew that we needed to take Hajj. We needed to go on this trip. And I kept in back of my mind, because we have two small children, you know, who would watch the kids? You know, how would this go with them being in school and everything? And then Allah was just making a way for us.
Yeah.
Each month I would say, okay, well, I may not be able to go, even though my deposit was already there. My intent was already there. I want to go. I kept making dua, and Allah kept opening up the doors for me, finding different people that would do this or take care of that. And by October, I was in a free place.
Allahu Akbar.
So
I can understand. I can understand to some degree. I mean, this whole background that you have expressed with us and that you have shared with us leads us to a very good place to have me to ask you what. When did you decide that it was time or that you should write the book about Hajj?
Yes, sir. Well, on the journey, and even prior to me even leaving, I knew that I wanted to record everything that I was doing and what I was feeling so that I can give it to or pass it to my daughter. When she became of age, I want her to know what I was going through, and it could possibly help her whenever she decided to make the journey. Well, different circumstances transpired, and I started visiting different sites. And as much as I thought I had studied, and as many videos as I thought I had watched, I still was unprepared for the moment when I reached certain sites or when I felt certain things. And I had a little book with me that my mother-in-law had given us that we could keep around our neck at all times. But I just needed something that was geared more to what women were experiencing or had experienced or could be, or they could, you know, possibly just know at that time. And then asking all the sisters while I was there, you know, different, you know, they kind of knew just as much as what I was knowing or was going through. And some of them weren't going through what I was going through, because each Hajj is different for everybody.
Yes.
And so I started writing a lot of my stuff down on my phone, capturing a lot of the moments, as well as taking lots of pictures. And when I got back home, I showed my mom my journal writings, and she was like, man, maybe you should turn this into a book. And I said, you know, I'm not an author. I think I would probably just keep this for Zaina, my daughter. And she was like, no, you should turn this into a book, because, you know, you have some really good things that others, you know, could possibly benefit from. So
right.
I started reaching into different arenas to possibly help with my writing, and of course my good friend Aisha Sharif, she stepped in because she's an English major and also a professor out here in Kansas, and she took it on. It was a beast, but she took it on and she made it beautiful as far as the writing skills, so I attribute that to her, as well as Sister Shahida Sharif really helping me formulate what I wanted to say and giving me some jewels as well. Sister Shahida Sharif is with Hodge Pros. She's one of the founders of Hodge Pros. And just getting all of this and making it into what it was. This is really dedicated to all my sisters that, inshallah, will come after me, that if they have any questions, they can go to this manual and they can read everything in order, what you're doing, what you need to do, the du'as that you need to say, some of the sites that you'll visit, the background behind it, and, you know, everything else. It's pretty much laid out for them, even down to your menses, because we as women, we get those. And so everything is pretty much detailed out because, see, some women feel like if you get your menses while you're on Hajj, your Hajj is invalid. But there's a story behind it. And the wife of the Prophet Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she received hers on her way to make Hajj. And the Prophet told her that her, as long as she makes Mount Arafat and to continue on with her Hajj, it will be valid. And it, in a hadith, it says, do everything that the pilgrims do, but do not circumambulate the house until you become pure. So yeah. Some women did not even know that in my own group. They just felt like they couldn't do anything. So right. After researching, after studying it, there were times where we were down in our tents, and I just had to go into my phone. Whenever we had internet connection, I would hurry up and send my mother an email so that she can provide me with some information in regards to that, in hopes that at 2 o'clock in the morning she was up to receive the email. So she provided me with a lot of information that I could pull off of, you know, the web, or she went to Hadith, or she went to the Quran, on various issues that I had with the whole total Hajj experience, so that I could become more aware. So she also helped me with providing information for the book, alhamdulillah.
Yes, I did buy the book. I haven't received it yet. I really wish I would have, you know, gotten the book, you know, a little earlier. But I do say that, you know, because I have an iPhone, and I looked for it on iBook, but it doesn't come in that. But it does come on Kindle, It comes on Kindle, and you can also buy the book on Amazon.com. So, you know, for the sisters and those that are listening, be encouraged. You hear what our sister Shahida Hafiz has been speaking about as far as being a community activist, but in particular, you can see just how important and how Hajj, the Hajj, has played into her life and how it has influenced her to number one, make the Hajj and also to write this book. And it's a great continuation for your family legacy.
Thank you.
Yes, for what, you know, your mother and father went through, and your whole birth, and this whole idea that, you know, like you and your husband, you know, Allah blessed you all to actually make the Hajj, and for you to actually write the book. It's a very beautiful, sister, that you were able to do that, which makes you a member of the Muslim American Media Alliance, and we pray that Allah will continue to bless you, but also that other people will go ahead and read this book, because I guess it's kind of important that, you know, the way that a sister does her Hajj, that I never even considered the possibility that it might be a little different from a sister than it is from a brother. But, you know, you did mention the part about the menses. That's one thing, but I guess the whole emotional state, or that also would probably kick into it too. Is that right?
Yes. That is correct. Not only the mental, but as well as the dress, you know. And in a lot of books that I know that we read, they were not completely geared towards women. The videos that we watch, some of them, you know, they had women in it, but you never knew exactly how they were doing what they had to do in order to, you know, successfully make the Hajj. So that's why I felt it important for this to be solely for women. Now, I'm not saying men can't read the book, because they are more than welcome to, so they can understand our plight as well. But solely for women, so that they know that, no, I don't have to wear a ihram just like the man. I may wear what I want to wear, as long as it's modest, as long as it's not flashy, as long, you know, I don't have to wear two pieces of clothing, or I don't have to wear something that's all white. The things that I need to do in order to prepare myself to go to Hajj, you know, no, I should, you know, not wear any nail polish. And that was one of the things that I had to learn while I was there, because I had on a nail burnace, and a sister pulled me to the side and said that that was not good. So I had to find some nail polish remover. Even though it was clear nail polish, it still was shiny, and I could not wear it, especially on the Hajj. You cannot wear any makeup. So these are some of the things that, you know, I had to learn while there. And I wanted to make it aware in the book so that the next sister would know prior to even departing her, you know, her hometown, that these are the things already that I know that are covered. What I need to do, how I need to act, where I need to sit, even issues like that. So it's very much different for us.
Go into that. What do you mean? Some of those other issues, like you did say, where to sit, or how I need to sit. Why is that important?
It's very important because you have a lot of cultural beliefs, more so than religious beliefs there. You're dealing with men who are very aggressive, who don't want to deal with women one-on-one, even when exchanging money. So it's always great to have a brother with you when you're exchanging money, because I was shorted. And, you know, alhamdulillah, the brother gave me the rest of my money. But had I had my husband with me on my way to, you know, the mosque and the Prophet's mosque, I may not have been shorted. I'm not sure. But it's just best that you travel with the brother majority of the times. Now, there are there's issues with sisters sitting on the Kaaba floor. They don't necessarily want, you know, the sisters on the floor, and they will take the sisters off of the floor when it's time to make salat. It's okay to make your tawafs around the Kaaba, but when it's time for salat, they want the sisters up in the balcony areas or in a selective area that is dedicated for the sisters, which is towards, it's right behind the Station of Ibrahim, I will say. So that,
you know,
is the area,
you know,
on the Kaaba floor that the sisters can pray. They cannot pray with the rest, with the brothers on that floor.
Wow. You know, I haven't made Hajj yet. And some of the things that you're explaining, as a person who has just made Hajj, and we're talking about 2012, so you have some very updated information. This is not something that happened 3 or 4 years ago, but this was just a couple of months ago. So
right.
Your information is quite updated. Some of the information that I've had, you know, especially as far as Hajj is concerned, where, you know, they say, well, the brothers and the sisters are equal. This is the only place where men and the sisters and the brothers are equal. You might be, and it has been said that you might be praying next to a sister. I mean, but then from what you're saying, that it's not like that.
Well, what I will say is this. Alhamdulillah. It's alhamdulillah that you're even able to be there. And Allah knows your intentions, and Allah knows their intentions. There are some brothers that do not want to pray next to you if you're a sister, and they will raise issue with it. There are some brothers that do not want you to pray in front of them, and they will raise issue with it. And that was one of the instances that happened with me. And I was with my husband, And this was a time that I did not know that sisters could not pray on the Kaaba floor. I was with him, standing next to him, getting ready for Salat the Asr. And the guards came in, and they took the group of sisters. It was me and two other sisters, along with my husband there. And they told us that we had to leave and go back up into the balcony area. And we were like, okay, well, I thought that, you know, this is the house of Allah. Everybody is equal here. Well, yeah, everybody is equal in the house of Allah, but you cannot stay there. They don't want you there. And they will escort you out. And you cannot raise a fuss because there's no wrangling on the Hajj.
Right.
So you raise a fuss, you just must go with the flow. And you go with the laws of the land. If that's what they want you to do, if that's where they want you to pray, then you go.
Right.
And you make fuss about it. So that's what we had to do. And then in another instance, we were up on the top floor overviewing the Kaaba. And this was for Salatul Isha. And we were praying in front of a group of brothers. It was me, my husband, another gentleman from our group, and two sisters. And the brothers told us that they wanted us to get behind them. And easily, we could have said, okay, well, you know, we'll just go to the back. But we were getting ready to make Salat. My husband said, you're not going anywhere. You know, keep focused, keep to the front. And my husband turned to the back of him. And that's why it's important to have a man with you always, because the brothers will get aggressive with you. And for your protection, you need that male there. And so alhamdulillah, he was there, because had he not been, I very well, I don't know, I don't want to say attacked,
right.
But, you
yes.
know,
yes.
they could have definitely talked to us and scolded us and,
right.
you know, very severely.
I remember seeing a picture from the Hajj. It was on Facebook. And it was a group of brothers had encircled a group of sisters while they
yes.
were going around the Kaaba. And it looked very protective.
Very.
You know, all the sisters were dressed in one color, and all the brothers that were surrounding them were dressed in one color. It was a beautiful picture. But now that you've explained that, I understand even more what that picture really signified, you know, the
yes.
significance of that picture. This is very good information, sister, and I really could go on, but I would say that Hajjah, a sister's guide for completing the Hajj and Umrah, is an important book, and especially if this is the kind of information, I mean, you just given our listeners some information that I'm sure a lot of them who have not actually been on Hajj probably didn't even know. I mean,
uh-huh.
and
uh-huh.
your host right here, William Curry, is one of them. Is one of them. And so I'm very thankful for that, because it's not only talking about sisters, but the things that you're explaining is not only talking about sisters, but it's also talking about the position of brothers who go on the Hajj with sisters and the position that they must play.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So that's alhamdulillah. I would like to continue this, but there's another part of your creativity that I would like to, you know, talk about. And it's at the end of your bio, it says that, you know, in your spare time, Shahida loves to provide graphic design services and owns her own graphic design boutique. Explain to us, what is a graphic design boutique, Graphic Expressions?
Okay, well, Graphic Expressions has been in existence for a little under 10 years now, and I am very passionate about my designs. I help various community members as well as corporate entities with branding their ID. And I provide logo services by way of corporate IDs, as well as postcards and flyers and websites and different informationals. I assist with wedding invitations as well. And my creativity is unlimited. And some of my mentors in the business are Abdullah Rashid from Texas, as well as Anika Sabri in New York. And I look to them for creativity, for answers. They really keep me motivated and keep my mind turning with their awesome ideas as well. I've had the pleasure of working with various conferences and organizations by providing them creative flyers, such as the Midwest Leadership Conference. I just did their promotional material with the help of Ndidi Akpu and Imam Suleiman Salam. They had me do this year's 2013 Midwest Leadership Conference flyer, as well as the Fountain of Abundance Conference flyers and promotional materials. So, yes, that is Graphic Expressions.
Now, you say that you own it. So is this a legal entity?
This is a legal entity. This is my business, yes. Established here in Kansas City, Missouri.
What type of legal entity is it?
Is it
an LLC? Is it a corporation?
No, it's a proprietorship. I'm a sole proprietorship. It's just me. This is a one man show or a one woman show. So this is what I do. I don't have a physical location, except for my mind and my computer. And this is what I use.
Well, so as Graphic Expressions, does it have a website?
Yes, I can be contacted through my website at www.gx-kc.com.
KC, Kansas City, right, KC.com.
Right.
GX.kc.com.
And I can be reached at info@gx-kc.com.
Okay.
I've also had the pleasure of working on some creative material for a laundry detergent bottle, as well as toilet paper tissue for Blissful Paper Products, and that's with Zaki and Hanan Furqan. That's my latest corporation that I'm working with. So you'll be sure to see some of my designs with their products really soon.
Okay. All right. That's good. So this, the Midwestern Conference, I did see that. I saw that flyer, and it says that there are conferences. What can you tell us about that? Because I saw that there's something that's going on, whereas these conferences are supposed to be taking place all across the country. I know that there's something that's going on the West Coast and something in the Middle America. What can you tell us about these conferences, if you can?
Well, the Midwest Muslims Leadership Conference is a conference for the Midwest section, and our convener is Imam Bashir Ali, and the co-chairs of this year's conference is Ndidi Akpu and Imam Suleiman Salam. Out of Kansas City, Missouri. Of course, it's going to be in St. Louis, Missouri, March 29th through the 31st. And their workshops include Marriage and Family, a Coalition for Good Government, Culture and Arts. They have a youth and young adults workshop, as well as singles workshop, business and economic development, Islamic development, and education. They're the five tracks that Imam Muhammad wanted us to emphasize on when we have conferences. So this is a great group to work with. This is another, in a way, of service that I can be towards my community by providing them my graphic and expertise, I shall say.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, sister, all praise is due to Allah. We are very honored to have you as one of the members of the Muslim American Media Alliance. You're doing great work, especially as far as that book is concerned. I mean, I can't get over the information that you have shared with us, in particular, the historical information with your family regarding your father and mother and their experience on Hajj and how that actually has had an influence on your life. And I'm sure that the listeners could truly understand the emotion that you expressed when speaking about your mother and your father and their whole Hajj experience and how that influenced you. I'm sure that everybody could understand that, and also how that was part of the impetus that helped you to go on Hajj, but in particular, how that was able to even inspire you to write this book about Hajj. Hajja. And Hajja actually means what? A sister who makes Hajj, is that right?
That is correct. It is a female. It is a female,
right.
In a female tense. Yes, it is.
Yes.
We're
so,
all
you know,
Hajjis, but there's a Hajji and there's a Hajja.
Yeah. So the name of the book, Hajja, you know, A Sister's Guide to Completing the Hajj and the Umrah. Did you actually make the Umrah also?
I did as well, and I
wow.
intend on going back very soon. My heart is calling me to visit this glorious place once again.
What is the difference between the Hajj and the Umrah? And I'm asking you this, but do you make them at different times, or can you make them together?
Well, yes, you cannot make them. Well, okay, so let me just explain. The Umrah is a process of where you make your tawaf around the Kaaba. There's seven circles around the Kaaba. And then you do your sa'i, as well as praying behind the station of Ibrahim. And that is a lighter Hajj. And the book will go in to explain the processes of the Umrah versus the Hajj. And, I mean, it is a requirement for us to make the Hajj, but it is not a requirement to make the Umrah. However, you get special blessings when making Umrah, and if you make Umrah during the month of Ramadan, it is equivalent to making a Hajj. But I would say my personal stance on it is make the Hajj. Make your intentions to make Hajj. So the steps to performing Umrah, as I said before, is one tawaf, which is seven laps around the Kaaba. You pray behind the station of Ibrahim. You perform the sa'i. And after that, you drink Zamzam water. And I know everyone has heard of the Zamzam water.
Yeah.
And then you cut your hair, of course. Some men will shave it just a little bit if they're going to be completing Hajj within the week or so. They will just shave it just a little bit. And the woman only cut maybe about an inch to the inch and a half of the tip of their hair. And then you exit Ihram. And then you can make the Hajj the following week or when the Hajj starts.
Okay. Yeah, so I see. So then you were over there for a little while. How long were you over there? A week, 2 weeks?
We were over there. Okay, so I went with Hajj Mushridun. I must say this. I went with Brother Yusuf. And Brother Yusuf, and he is the Sojourner Truth, the Harriet Tubman of our community, of leading Muslims over to Hajj. And he's out of Atlanta. And he was a great tour guide for our Hajj experience as well. And we were over there for a total of, I want to say, 3.5 weeks.
Wow.
We left on the 6th, and due to the storm in New York this past year, we didn't come back until November 6th.
Right.
So we were in Turkey for a few days, and we stayed in Medina the first week of our trip. Then we moved over to Mecca and stayed at the Royal Clock Tower Hotel, which was beautiful. It was overlooking the Kaaba. And we stayed there for a few days. And then we moved to apartments out in Akakia, which is right outside of the Haram boundaries, or the city of Mecca. And we stayed there for, I want to say, 3 to 4 days. And then from there, we moved to the Mina tents. And we stayed there for our Hajj duration.
Right.
And then
right.
from So after Hajj, we then moved back to the Akakia rooming apartments. And then from there, we, you know, you must depart right after Hajj.
Right. So it's, I mean, 3.5 weeks, any place is a space away from home, any place. You know what I mean? 3.5 weeks, you know, to be away.
It could be.
It's like that's definitely a vacation or a journey or something like that, you know, for 3.5 weeks.
Right. It really was not a vacation. And Hajj is not a vacation for you. This is something that is ordained from Allah for you to do. And it was a spiritual journey. There are people that take spiritual journeys and spiritual trips to Jerusalem and different places. This was a trip that I was able to find myself, find my inner being, find out who I am, who I was, the negative, the positives, and turn those around so when I came back, I was a better person. That's what this trip was for me.
So it didn't feel like a vacation in any way. Go ahead.
Not in any way. I'm sorry. And not in a negative way, but because I looked at it as a business trip. This was something that I needed to do in order to get straight with my God, my Lord. And so I took it more as a business trip.
And you were taking care of business.
I was taking care of business, exactly.
Nicely put. Very nicely put. I thought it was very important to make that distinction between, you know, sometimes, you know, here in American circumstance, you know, when you are away from home, most people are away from home because of vacation, and there's a certain way that you feel just by being away from home and being in other places where you're staying in hotels and visiting, you know, historical sites that, you know, just the mental and the spirit that you might be in is more of a vacation type of spirit. I'm being subjective about this, of course. However, but by explaining it as a business trip, then the intent for a business trip is much different from a vacation. You go on a business trip to achieve something. You're looking
right.
to you know, come out with some kind of result. The purpose for going there is not it's business. It's
correct.
You know, some kind of some accomplishment that you're looking for, you know, by taking the trip. So that was a big difference, and I hope that our listeners got that Hajj is not a vacation, but it's we're going to call it a business trip, but it's an objective, a spiritual and mental objective. I think we could say that, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Well, that's a very wonderful put, and unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program. But it was a nice journey to
yes.
actually have you with us. To thank you so very much, Sister Shahida Hafiz, and I pray that Allah will bless you and your husband. And y'all have a couple of children. I saw a video of you and your husband in the car, and your little son was in the back, and it looked like y'all was talking, and he was in the back playing. How many kids do you have?
I have two children, Zaina and Yusuf Hafiz.
Yeah.
And when you in the video you saw us, we were saying the Talabiyah along with my mother, who was there. She was here to watch the children during the duration of our Hajj stay. So we were saying the Talabiyah prayer on our way to the airport.
Okay. So y'all were on your way to the Hajj at that time?
That is correct.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story about Hajj, and thank you very much
for having me and giving me this platform. I'm so forever grateful for this. Thank you very much.
Well, we are very grateful for you to be a member of the Muslim American Media Alliance, and we think that your book is important, and the designs that you're doing, and also your community activism. Your bio says a lot about your community activism But, you know, I'm glad that you came on to talk about the book in particular, because the book is important, and I will definitely share the book, and we will continue to encourage people with to get the book. And I would recommend also that you keep us informed and abreast on our Facebook page, Muslim American Media Alliance, with updates, and to also put on the page about having people to buy your book. That's going to be important. Also, I would also like to say, because one of the promotions that we do at the Muslim American Media Alliance is to encourage people to also promote on our Muslim social networking sites, which is umar1.com and youareacreator.com, to take out a page there and to tell people what you're doing on umar1.com and youareacreator. All right, so Sazi? Well, Sister Shahida, we thank you so very much, and may Allah continue to bless you with good works. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, brothers and sisters, that was a very good interview. I must say that I'm always kind of impressed with the work that that goes on in our community. And again, when you see the picture of Sister Shahida Hazid, who is the wife of Imam Bilal Hazid, and she's doing great work out there in Kansas City, Missouri. And she's written this book. Please get the book. There's good information in it, and get that book. But I'm always impressed with the background that goes with these pictures of members of the Muslim American Media Alliance. These are people that are actually doing things. These are people that have great stories, great backgrounds. They're coming from great roots becoming something and doing things. And this is the type of information that we want to get out to the public, to share with the rest of the world, to let people know that there is great work going on in the Muslim American circumstance here in America. So with that, I thank you so very much. That was Sister Shahida Hazid from Kansas City, Missouri, and we look forward to being with you next week right here on Meet the Mama Members. As-salamu alaykum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Meet the Members of the Muslim American Media Alliance. Stay tuned and up to date on the activities of our members in media by visiting us on Facebook under Muslim American Media Alliance. And until next week's edition, when we publish the perspective of another Muslim in media, this is your host, William Kareem, signing off.
Alhamdulillah, great interview.